broadcasting on the web and locally on 90.1 Hope FM. This is your Election 50.
It's 4 a.m. I'm Jeff Buckeridge, and this is all the latest news on a spectacular election night. More breaking news. Another one of the biggest Liberal Democrat seats has gone. Energy Secretary Ed Davey has lost his Kingston and Surbiton seat to the Conservative Party. Meanwhile, Margaret Curran, the shadow Scottish Secretary, has lost her Glasgow East seat to the SNP. Scottish Labour leader Jim Murphy has declared the fight back will start immediately after losing his seat to the SNP. He had held East Renfrewshire for nearly 20 years, but his once safe majority was eliminated as Kirsten Oswald swept to victory with 23,564 votes. Mr Murphy said it was an enormous moment for the SNP and congratulated them, but he appeared to be in good spirits as he declared the fight back for Labour in Scotland starts tomorrow.
I know that you will cherish the opportunity that your victory has provided you with. I wholeheartedly congratulate you and wish you every success in your parliamentary career and standing up for the people of East Renfrewshire.
The SNP has gained every single seat in Scotland so far, totalling 30 seats, including another seat stolen from Labour in Glasgow South West. The North Dorset Labour candidate Kim Fenley has told Your Election 15 that his party would consider a coalition with the Green Party. He says that despite some of the more extreme policies, Labour and Green share a lot of views on social justice issues.
Coalition with Greens, perhaps, or probably not Lib Dem, because as you can see nationally, they're not going to be much of a party anymore. So probably just stay with Greens. We share most of their issues on social justice.
Ross Kays, the Lib Dem candidate in Dorset West, tells us she will call for Nick Clegg to go in a speech. A spokesman for Liberal Democrat leader Nick Clegg says the party is facing a bad night as early results show a massive drop in support. However, the spokesman added that the party is confident but not complacent Mr Clegg will retain his seat in Sheffield Hallam. Diane James of UKIP is already talking out the party's 2020 strategy. She says she wasn't aware there was a recount in Thurrock and she still believes UKIP leader Nigel Farage will take Thanet South. An explosion in a police car outside a count is being investigated. The cause is being treated as suspicious. The incident took place outside the Bosworth count in Leicestershire. Labour's campaign vice chair, Lucy Powell, says the party is seeing a very disappointing result in Scotland. She believes Labour has run a very strong campaign and says she expects more gains in England. She's also accused the Tories of running a fear and smear campaign. Respect Party leader George Galloway has lost his seat in Bradford West to Labour. The controversial politician has been reported to the police for allegations of releasing polling information before the polls closed. And his night hasn't got any better with the news of his defeat. You're all up to date with the news. Join us again at 4:30.
Coming to you live from Bournemouth University and from across Dorset, in partnership with 90.1 Hope FM, this is your Election 15.
Voting is, as we all know, the way to get your voice heard in British politics.
But what if none of your local candidates inspire you enough to take that important trip down to the polling station? Just a few days ago, in our very own Bournemouth Uni survey, it was revealed 41% were still undecided on who to vote for.
The question is whether that indecision will turn into a no vote.
With that in mind, our reporter Laura Shearing has been looking into why, for some, spoiling the ballot is a better option than not voting at all.
In the last election in 2010, only 61.5% of the country's eligible voters attended the polling booth. This was an increase from 2005 and 2001, when voter turnout was at a record low of 59.4%. With big names like Russell Brand voicing some of the younger generation's disillusionment, is it time to shake up the UK voting system?
My name's Mark Flanagan. I'm the leader and Leeds North West candidate for the Above and Beyond party. We believe that the political system is fundamentally flawed on a number of levels, not least obviously the voting system, the first-past-the-post system. If you had a none-of-the-above box, we'd open a lot of eyes in the corridors of power in Westminster, that so many people feel disillusioned with the political system and so detached from it. That's what we need to work on. We need to engage people and create a system so more people feel like they can influence it and take part.
So as we don't currently have the option to vote none, What should we do?
My name's Simon Pardo, and we're running the voteorvotenone.org.uk campaign, which is really saying either vote for a candidate who you trust to work hard for things you believe in, or vote none. What we're suggesting is you put a single line through all the boxes and write none in big letters across the ballot. To not vote at all is just a complete waste of time. In many seats in this country, nearly half the people didn't vote last time. Well, you don't hear that because they're invisible. So it isn't a protest, it's just silence.
So what kind of people are going to spoil the ballot?
I'm Polly. I'm incredibly, incredibly disenchanted with the way that this government works, with the way that our voting works, and with the way that politics in the UK in general seems to be carried out.
I think that it's still important to have just gone and shown an interest in the first place and gone and said, you know, I am still engaging with politics, I'm just not engaging with you.
I'm Will, and I will be abstaining in the election. My plans are to set a ticking across, scoring through all the options saying none of you represent me. She's then recorded people that disagree fundamentally with the nature of the election.
I'm Tom Naylor Clements, and I'm a physics student at Kent. I don't believe that any of the parties are worthy of my vote, but I'm still voting.
A lot of people don't understand what spoiling your ballot is, and it's become the idea of voting for no one. You're still counted. Did have a voting for none option. It would mean that you can actually see a tangible thing of saying, I'm voting for no one, and I don't believe any of you. I think that would be a lot better for the disenfranchised. If you don't participate, your voice won't be heard. If you're staying silent, you definitely won't be listened to. Whereas this whole thing of having, I don't know who to vote for, write that on your ballot paper. I mean, it will only be counted as, like, unvoted or spoiled. But you're still taking part in the system which allows you to write that.
Okay, so we're now joined by our expert panel, Lisa Rahma, Karen Fowlerwatt, and David McQueen.
So after that interesting feature we just heard, would you guys ever consider a protest vote yourselves?
I wouldn't, no. It's a wasted vote.
Wasted vote? You think even though you're making a mark on the paper, it's still
no,
not
it's
relevant.
A complete wasted vote. Just vote for who you want to represent you.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, complete waste of time. Might as well stay at home.
Okay, now guys, you've all been very busy in other parts of the building doing various things and helping out with the coverage. Can you enlighten us all onto what you've been doing and
where have you been?
Okay, yeah. Well, everything's kicking off in the online newsroom now with the Your Election 15 website. Kicked off with the shock exit, pointing to a really strong Tory lead. And actually, there's another story bubbling under now with Ed Miliband, and obviously Labour aren't doing very well. So the reporters are covering on the calls for him to resign.
Yeah, everybody's talking about this, and everyone wants to know why. Why is Ed Miliband in this position?
Lots of reasons. I think his own party, for a start, haven't really backed him to the hilt as a leader. He's had issues with the media that we all know about. A lot of mainstream press have given him a really hard time. And actually, Labour appear to have done even worse than they even thought that they would do.
Yeah.
There's quite a lot online at the moment, sources calling for his resignation already, which is quite, you know, pretty early days to be doing that. I think one of the other issues is ownership of the press. The media, to Lisa's point, you know, the Tory ownership of the press is something that's being criticised by, for example, Alastair Campbell, former spin doctor to Tony Blair, who spoke out last night about that and has been very critical of the way the press has handled Miliband, and also the cartoons, of course, the eating of bacon sandwiches, which we know about, the Wallace, the Poldark, you know. So we're just sort of, I think, seeing the beginning now of somebody who's having to deal with the fallout from that, and it's showing in the polls at the moment too.
Yeah, I think, but Nicola Sturgeon made an interesting point, which is that, you know, look at how well the SNP have done in Scotland, and really they're kind of old Labour, a lot of their policies.
Yeah.
And she's made the point, well, Labour have really lost it to the Conservatives. It was all theirs to win, and they've kind of thrown that away. So I think Labour Party's got to have to look very carefully at itself and decide, you know, whether they're going to move to the left, whether they're going to stay where they are. They could actually end up splitting over this performance, because you may get Blairites fighting with those who support Miliband. I think it's going to be a really messy period for Labour.
There's a bit of a sense, isn't there, that certain people might shore up Miliband at the moment.
Yeah.
But they would be, as you say, the obvious candidates. But also there'll be other people lining themselves up to throw their hat into the ring, which is an incredible thing, really, to be talking about tonight. When you think it was only days ago, we were thinking that maybe he would be leading a coalition government, potentially.
It's clear that the Labour campaign just wasn't as good as the Conservatives. They were very responsive, very almost defeatist from the beginning. And the Conservatives had these very, very simple messages about the economy and staying with who you know and what you know. Yeah. And at the moment, everybody is afraid, after all of these years of austerity, I think that some people are thinking they don't want change.
Yeah, definitely. And the Conservative did a massive thing with Facebook, didn't they? They spent a lot of money on there trying to appeal to the younger generation to get votes in there. So that's definitely...
And evidently it's paid off. Yeah. They've done this well. Definitely. They're doing well. Now, Nick Clegg, his future career position has also been brought into question, and people are saying that he will also be fired, even if he gets a seat.
Yeah, which we'll know soon.
Yeah.
Very soon. Hopefully. Within the hour, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. So if it's a bad night for Labour, it is an absolute nightmare for the Liberal Democrats. I mean, they have just lost so many seats tonight, and I think Nick Clegg's position is pretty untenable. I mean, he's led the Liberal Democrats into that coalition and made some fundamental errors. I mean, the promise on tuition fees, he's not been forgiven by that. People have not forgotten that. I think the Liberal Democrats thought they could get away with it, and they just haven't. People have said, you made a pledge, you made a written promise, and you went back on that and you trebled tuition fees. And it keeps coming back to Liberal Democrats. And I think, you know, the fact they've suffered so much tonight can be isolated to this one issue, if nothing else. People have just got a longer memory than politicians take them for.
Yeah,
there's some grassroots dissatisfaction too. When you're asking what we were doing, I've just been running around down in telly. We were broadcasting live all night, just as we are here in radio. And there are, you know, politicians, candidates, Lib Dem candidates, saying that they are really disgruntled with the career politicians and the sort of, you know, the leadership and the way that that's been managed, I think, around the Lib Dems is something which some of the grassroots Lib Dem candidates have been very disgruntled about and very, very frustrated by, because they believe that they stand for core values of the Liberal Democrats, which haven't perhaps been reflected in the campaign.
There's just one tiny, tiny chink of light for the Lib Dems, and that's at the next election, believe it or not, because at least for many years, I mean decades, they were a party that would never be in power. At least they can say that actually they were in power, they were visible, they can point to perhaps some policies, or perhaps we don't know if we do have a Conservative government, how deep those cuts will be. They might actually have an argument to say, well, actually, we put the brakes on the Conservatives, nearly 10 years ago.
Yeah, so do you have any predictions for the next couple of hours that you can enlighten us?
My prediction is for Conservative DUP coalition. I think the Lib Dems have become a bit of an irrelevancy. I think they're more natural allies with the DUP. I think the Conservatives are still going to need a few extra votes to get to be able to form a government, and that's where they'll look.
Do you think it'll be more volatile, though, a DUP-Tory coalition?
I think potentially, but I think the Liberal Democrats have kind of lost a lot of credibility. There's a lot of Conservatives who don't want to get back into bed with them, and so they'll be looking for other allies, fresh allies, fresh face from across the pond. And so I think it could be DUP.
Oh, nice.
Well, so what are you guys, what is your roles now for the rest of the evening? What are you going to be up to? Where are you going to be?
The key thing for all of our student journalists is in the 8 constituencies that they're covering. Mm-hmm. Literally right now, it's 4:15. We might have a result in the next half an hour or so, but the next couple of hours are crucial to coverage for your election 15 in terms of the reporters out there finding out who's actually won locally.
It's going to be very busy next couple of hours, I feel, all these results coming
it's
in.
It's exciting.
And we're going to be first with them too.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
And the one to watch is Pool, of course, to see whether or not it's going to be a really good night for the Conservatives, as in it'll be a complete blue wash across our part of Dorset.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, guys. Enjoy the rest of your evening. I hope you get a little
bit of
rest.
Or morning, we should say, yeah.
Morning.
Yes, morning. Have a good one. And may I say, the radio coverage has been excellent.
Yeah,
we really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on.
Pleasure.
Okay, now, as always, you can join in with the election by tweeting us at YE15 and start your message with the word radio. We would love to hear you tweet us. We want to hear from you. Get involved. Tell us what you're thinking. Anything. We want to hear from you, okay?
Coming to you live from Bournemouth University and from across Dorset, in partnership with 90.1 Hope FM, this is your Election 15.
So our busy bee, who is keeping her eye on all things social media, is back.
Hello, I love that introduction.
Busy bee.
That is, yeah. I'm not for the last like half an hour, I've just been chilling.
Nice. But I hope you still got some stuff for us, because obviously I assume social media is dipping.
Yeah, everyone's kind of asleep now, so yeah, not a lot's going
understandably,
on.
Understandably.
Yeah, I don't expect like the general public to be up at 4 o'clock tweeting about, you know, the election. So yeah, I thought maybe we could just actually talk about the campaign so far and all the different, because there's been so many different trends. I mean, can you remember as far back as the pink Labour bus? Oh.
That was I remember we did that at uni. That was a long time
ago. Yeah, we've had that. Obviously, we've had the Miliphants and the Cameronettes. Yep. Recently, we've had the Cameron's Stone Pledge, which I find a bit weird. Very weird.
I liked the Ed Miliband, the bacon.
Oh, yeah. So that came out yesterday. He's just Sweet Ed.
Yes, that
and,
is it. Loved
that
it.
That is sort of... The Sun has been... They had the famous picture of Ed eating his bacon sandwich. We all know it. They had that on their front page saying, if he can't eat a bacon sandwich, then he can't rule our country. And then all the Labour supporters thought, no, that's not very nice. So they decided to take horrible pictures of them eating bacon sandwiches and hashtag it Just Sweet Ed. But like by the end of it, they were really weird. Like there was bits of ham hanging off their cheeks and like lettuce in their ears and stuff.
I mean, poor Ed, he just gets scrutinised for everything he does. I think I've seen photos of him walking down the street and people are telling him that he's doing it wrong, and
yeah,
just him out in public in general, he's just always
I think that's why the Miliphants came along. But there's actually a story behind that. The girl, I think she's 17-year-old girl that started the hashtag Miliphandom thing. And yeah, she just, and like nobody knew that it was her or anything, but somehow a journalist found her and turned up at her parents' house, were knocking on their door asking for her and like why she wasn't there and things like that. And then her dad like messaged her, like, what are they talking about? I have no idea. And she was like, oh yeah, I kind of have something to tell you. So she had to break it to them that way. Yeah. But then the journalist said they found her address through the electoral, the register, but obviously she's 17, so she's not on it. So yeah, some sneaky
journalists.
I know, can't
like,
trust them. No, that's not true representative. So yeah, we've had loads of stuff. I'm trying to think. A lot of it has been sort of Labour bashing, not going to lie.
Yeah, it does seem like that.
Yeah.
Like Lib Dems, I've not seen...
Obviously UKIP, there's been loads of scandals with the UKIP situations. We had the interview with the... I can't remember her name, but the lady that said she didn't like a certain race. She doesn't know why, but she just didn't like them. It's in her psyche. Yeah, there's been a lot of scandals and trends, but...
That hashtag, that started last night, the Why I'm Voting...
Oh yeah, so that's obviously, that happened ages ago, but it was brought up again last night, and it's the hashtag Why I'm Voting UKIP, and that was sort of UKIP supporters saying why they were voting UKIP, but then it got changed, as it always does.
Of course it does.
And there was coming up some really random things with Why I'm Voting UKIP to get out the Eurovision and things like that, just really weird things. Something that's actually just come up recently is... loads of young people are hashtagging why their parent, like they're not happy with their parents for voting UKIP. So there was a young girl who said, "Are we like my dad just voted UKIP? Are we even related?" Another one that said, "I'm leaving the country," and all these things because she's not happy
it's
with her parents.
It's good that young people are like getting involved though. They're like, this must be, you know, I didn't hear much in the last 2010 election of a lot of young people voicing their opinions and stuff, so...
Yeah, the 2010 election was called... It was dubbed, like, the first social media election, but it didn't really kick off because there wasn't really that many things going on, whereas this one is the social media election.
Definitely a breakthrough.
Yeah, definitely. The Conservatives have spent thousands on Facebook trying to up their likes. And loads of things like that. They've just been hammering as much social media as they can. They've even got Vine accounts and Snapchat and things like Periscope. Yeah. So, but it's hard to tell whether it actually has worked until obviously tomorrow.
Until tomorrow.
Ah, lovely. Well, thank you very much for joining us in the studio.
No worries.
Okay, just some quick breaking news for you. Alistair Darling loses his Labour seat in Edinburgh South West constituency to the SNP. Now, I believe we're going to go over to Stephanie Tashiva, who is currently in Bournemouth Little Down Centre, Bournemouth East, and she's covering Bournemouth East and Bournemouth West. Stephanie, can you hear us?
Yes, hi.
Perfect, hello. Hello. So can you tell us what's going on down there?
Yeah, here in the Little Down Centre, the turnout for the results has been announced. So for Bournemouth East, 62.55% of the registered voters actually voted, which means that 45,014 votes have been cast, while in Bournemouth West, 58.45% of the voters have voted, and more than 2,100 votes have been cast, and which means the turnout is slightly similar to last year, which is not surprising.
Okay, so there wasn't a major increase then, which is what was maybe expected.
Yeah, this was expected. Hopefully, I will be able to get back to you soon with information about who they were cast for.
So is it busy down there, Steph? Is there still an atmosphere or is it starting to die down a bit?
It is quite busy. Like, there's a lot of people walking around, talking, maybe people from mainly people from parties. I think most of the people have finished with the counting, though, so hopefully we'll know the results soon.
Do you know what time that will be, Steph, at all? Is it more of an estimate?
Again, according to polls, it's going to be conservative, but we'll see.
Oh, okay, well, I think we've just lost Stephanie there, but I'm sure we'll talk to her again later in the night. Now, remember to get involved and tweet to us. We want you to use the hashtag YE15 and start your message with the word radio. That is YE15 and start your message with the word radio.
Ah, so now we're back with our expert panel. We've got Lisa, David, and...
No, Karen. Just Lisa and David.
Oh, she's off to TV.
She's busy.
Oh, online.
Very busy.
I know this multimedia environment that we're all working in. It's busy.
Okay, so what we want to talk to you guys now is about future party leaders. So what are your thoughts on who could replace the party leaders over the next few years?
Okay, I'll kick off with a scenario. It's always like placing a bet on a horse, this sort of thing, because there's so much horse trading in politics. First of all, David Cameron says he's actually, even if he ends up being Prime Minister again, he's already said that he's exiting stage left at some point.
Yeah.
So there will be, I think, one very ambitious candidate there. His name will be George Osborne. The markets will love him. And he'll also, if he's canny or if he is able to, present himself as a fantastic Chancellor, the person who dug everybody out of austerity and into a brand brave new world of paying our way and getting the debt down, getting the deficit down, and being the person who gave us the bad medicine that made us all better. That will be his shtick. On Labour, perhaps we'll see somebody like Yvette Cooper come to the fore, and actually perhaps even better on the Conservative side for her as a foil would be Theresa May. You know, between Labour and the Conservatives, Theresa May and Yvette Cooper might actually be rather a good head-to-head. Now, obviously, I've left out the Lib Dems here because, quite frankly, I can't immediately think of a successor. David, can you think of one?
No, I mean, I just wonder if someone like Simon Hughes might, you know, because he didn't vote for tuition fees and he sort of was a sort of... part of that disgruntled element in the Lib Dems who didn't like the drift to the right. I can't see someone like Charles Kennedy coming back. I think his career's over. Maybe a new person in the Liberal Democrat Party will come forward, someone who's relatively unknown at the moment. But we've gone down to about 9 MPs, so we should really know them all by name quite soon.
Yeah. Yes, they won't have too many to choose from. And Simon Hughes would be quite clean and elegant. Yeah. He's never struck me as a particularly ambitious politician in terms of, you know, trying to... muscle his way into the cabinet when he might have had a chance.
He might be the kind of politician who could rebuild trust in the Liberals, though. I mean, I think the chance of them ever being in playing a major role in government, that's many years away. I think the Liberal brand has to kind of be built from the foundations up, and Simon Hughes might be someone who people think, yeah, we kind of trust you, let's give you a chance. a softer image, less careerist image than the present leader. On the Labour leader, I think Yvette Cooper, you know, is a possibility. What about David Miliband? Is it possible David Miliband might get on his plane?
I had his name in my head.
Get on a plane back to England to his brother. If his brother has made such a failure, maybe he will revive his interest in politics. Who knows?
Sorry to just interrupt you there, but you've just had some breaking news that Alex Salmond has won a seat. There we go.
Yes, and I saw earlier Douglas Carswell has held on to his UKIP seat as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Scotland is just pure SNP now. I think it's just Orkney, which may remain non-SNP, and that's Orkney has always been sort of when Scotland was going independent, Orkney wanted to get independence from Scotland. They actually sort of associate themselves more with Scandinavian countries. So, you know, Scotland tonight is SNP, pure SNP.
And that very fact, that SNP element, will be one of the factors around the choice of the new Labour leader as well, because Labour will want to get back some of those Scottish seats, undoubtedly. Yeah. Jim Murphy, even though he's lost tonight, said, you know, that he wants to start the fight back. Well, they're absolutely now bloodied and bowed, but they'll want to get back on that side of things. In terms of Labour as well, a possible candidate for the future is Alan Johnson, but he might just be a little bit old Labour, yeah. New Labour. You know, he might just have been somebody from the past.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you there, Lisa. I'm really sorry.
Sorry, I do go on, don't I?
Not at all. Thank you, Lisa and Davey, for speaking to us. Now, we're just going to go over to our Liberal Democrats specialist. So the Liberal Democrats may be facing a greater wipeout than previously predicted, with the latest news suggesting that Nick Clegg may be gone, even if he wins his seat. We can now speak to Dewi Knight, who is the policy advisor at the University of Bedfordshire and a former Lib Dem advisor.
Good evening.
Hi there.
Hi. And actually, just to pick up on your last conversation, a tiny bit of good news this evening for the Democrats. Orkney has declared, and it's a Liberal Democrat hold. So there is one seat in Scotland that's not gone to the SNP.
Oh,
okay.
Wow. That's exciting news right there.
So, a little bit of excitement, yeah.
So where are you speaking to us from?
I'm in London. So,
okay.
It just Orkney just popped up on the BBC just now.
So what can you tell us about the future of the Lib Dem and Nick Clegg's career at this moment?
Well, yeah, is there a future? I mean, you've got to start with that question. I think it's clear that hopefully Nick will... it's looking very close in Sheffield, but hopefully Nick will win his seat. But I think it seems pretty obvious that he will resign over the weekend and there'll have to be a leadership contest. But it's going to be not many MPs to pick from to run for the leader. It's going to be quite a big rebuilding... project, and a lot of the familiar faces, certainly from the progressive left of the party, haven't retained their seats. People like people perhaps like Charles Kennedy in Scotland, even though we've not seen that result yet. So it's going to be a tough job for whoever is there. I think the obvious contenders might be Tim Farron, who's won his seat, or Norman Lamb in Norfolk. But there's no getting away. It's going to be quite a tough ask to. The party and get ready for the elections to come.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that this is a massive story in the making. It's all everyone's talking about at the moment. Poor old Nick Clegg.
So, following this source about the party leader potentially losing his seat, from the information you've gathered during this evening, do you think this could be a potential outcome?
Yeah, I actually think Nick Clegg will hold on to his seat in Sheffield Hallam, although it looks as if it's going to be very close. But whatever happens, I think Nick won't stay on probably as leader. I think he will reflect on... He's a man of great honour and integrity, actually, and he's taken very difficult decisions going into government and difficult decisions within government. And I think he put Britain first instead of the party going to government, and now he'll put the party before any of his own personal ambitions.
So
and recognise
what... Sorry to keep interrupting you.
It's someone else's opportunity to be to lead the party and try and rebuild the party now in the coming years.
Yeah. What do you believe to be the best possible but also most realistic outcome for the Lib Dems? Just very quickly.
As realistic as get as many seats as possible. It looks as if the poll is right at 10 o'clock, so we're looking at 10, 12 members, which is obviously quite small, but at least there are still MPs who are there to rebuild the party and try and...
Okay, thank you very much for speaking to us. We'll get back to you later on in the night. Thanks.
No, thank you.
Bye.
Broadcasting on the web and locally on 90.1 Hope FM, this is your Election 50.
It's 4:30 a.m. I'm Jeff Buckridge and this is all the latest news. And we start off with breaking news, and that is that Simon Hughes of the Liberal Democrats has lost his Bermondsey and Southwark seat to Labour after 32 years of being an MP. Alistair Darling of Labour has also lost his seat. Meanwhile, more good news for the SNP as their former leader, Alex Salmond, has won the constituency of Gordon. Labour have now reached 100 seats, but Ed Miliband will have to go tomorrow, a Labour source, speaking to the New Statesman, has said. Also, unconfirmed sources from Welsh Liberal Democrats state that Nick Clegg is gone even if he wins his seat. Conservatives are ahead of the Lib Dems in Cheadle, party sources say, and they have held Thurrock, which was a UKIP target seat. Christopher Chope, the Conservative candidate for Christchurch, has told us the economy is one of the reasons his party does so well in the area. He spoke to Your Election reporter John Cottrell about the Tory strengths in the area, including their policies on the elderly and immigration.
Well, the national issues that concern people here are issues relating to the economy, and that's why the Conservatives are doing well, because the economy is recovering.
And very breaking news now is that Boris Johnson is now an MP. He's won his seat in Uxbridge and Ruislip South. More to come on that later. The voting turnout for Bournemouth East is 62.19% and 58.49% for Bournemouth West, the same as 2010. Conservative MP David Davis, who fought David Cameron for the leadership of the Conservative Party back in 2005, believes there is a reasonable chance that the Tories will get more than 326 seats. He suggests that if the Tories are within 10 seats, then it would still be possible for the Conservatives to work with the Liberal Democrats to form what he calls the most stable government they can. Liberal Democrat Mike Thornton says he has lost his EC seat to the Conservatives. Liberal Democrat sources say it has been a clearly bad night for them in Newton Abbot, where they were only 523 votes behind the Conservatives in 2010. The Liberal Democrats candidate for St Albans, Sandy Walkington, said that he would be shocked if Nick Clegg remained leader of the party after this election. Labour's John McDonnell has retained Hayes and Harlington, the West London constituency, which includes Heathrow Airport, with an increased majority of 15,700. McDonnell secured his fifth term, beating Pearl Lewis for the Conservatives, who polled 11,144, down for the party from 12,500 in 2010. McDonald had said that the prospect of a Tory government supported by the DUP made him fear for the community in terms of cuts to benefits and the NHS. He said the most vulnerable in society were not put at risk by the results of the election tonight. It could potentially be as late as 8 a.m. until we hear the results of the seat where Nigel Farage is now expected to fail in his bid to win. But already there appears to be a growing clamour in his party for him to stay on as leader, even though he promised to step down if he lost South Thanet. UKIPers are saying they may not accept his resignation letter. That's all the latest news. Join us again at 5 a.m. for more news updates.
This is your Election 50. Get in touch using the hashtag YE50.
Very much, Tim. Hi, Alex. Welcome back to the studio.
Hello, ladies.
How's the evening going for yourself?
Not so bad. I'm really enjoying it.
Still holding up.
Bit sweaty. I feel like my clothes are sticking to me, but I'm going to be fine.
Well, you look fabulous, so it's all good.
Fabulous.
Okay, so, Alex, it is coming up to 5 a.m, which means a considerable amount of results have been coming through. So what can you tell us at the moment?
It may be 5 a.m, but it's not dying down here. That's for sure. Hoss off the press, Alistair Darling, Labour has lost his seat to the SNP. no more fuzzy eyebrows. What's going to happen there?
Oh, no.
Of course, he was Chancellor of the Exchequer under Brown government as well, so a huge, huge blow for stalwarts of Labour there. Carswell as well has held on to Clacton, which means the first UKIP seat has gone. Simon Hughes, the Justice Minister, has lost his seat to Labour. And also in mounting pressure on Nick Clegg as well. I mean, we've just heard a report downstairs in the TV studio. Roz Kays, who's a councillor, a Lib Dem councillor for West Dorset, has spoken to our reporter Rob Kane, who has and explicitly asked Nick Clegg to resign on air as well. So, I mean, huge mounting pressure on bearing down the head of Nick Clegg. But again, SNP, the victory story of tonight has been their toppling of the major Labour seats across the whole of Scotland, and also those key Lib Dem losses. So Danny Alexander, Simon Hughes, Joe Swinson. It's been a dire night for Lib Dem and for Labour thus far. But I mean, we're starting to get a few Conservative seats in now, and I believe the Conservatives hold Reigate. The Uxbridge is also gone for Boris Johnson, so we'll be seeing more of Boris. And yeah, no, it's been a fantastic night thus far. But I mean, we're what, about halfway through?
Yep, yeah. Only halfway through.
Nearing halfway through, so there's plenty more. Oh, hang on, we've just had a massive, massive toppling here. Vince Cable has lost his seat. Vince Cable, of course, he has been a figure throughout the Conservative and Liberal Democrat coalition. A huge, huge loss there, a huge blow, and a huge loss to a figurehead of politics. I mean, there's not a day goes by when you don't see Vince on the TV chatting some old cobblers.
Bless him.
But yeah, you do have to love him. So that's a shame. That's a shame for Lib Dems there. Lib Dems only got 4 seats thus far. They're looking minute in comparison to the other parties you can see there on the screen. UKIP yet to get that sort of role that Nigel Farage has always been professing he was going to get. SNP on 46, they're not close, not far off, sorry, from taking the whole of Scotland. It's really building up to a climax here. I hope you can keep with us.
Yeah, now in regards to Nick Clegg, I mean, can you make any predictions about the future of his career? Because this is not going well for him tonight at all. Like, it's all going downhill for him pretty rapidly.
It has been an onslaught is the only word I've used. Literally, they're licking their wounds. Nick Clegg is not gonna get a comeback from this at all. You won't see Nick Clegg in the political sphere much longer.
He will disappear.
Not in a kind of like KGB. You'll find him in a ditch somewhere off a motorway. No. He'll still be there.
He'll be around, going out shopping and things. But
let's be honest, for us here at I know for myself personally at BU, he's lost quite a lot of younger voters through the whole tuition fee rise as well. Many feel betrayed about that. But I think being sort of a secondary partner in this relationship has not worked out well for the Liberal Democrats. Possibly maybe the reason Labour don't want to get in bed with the SNP as well. They've learned from the past, you know. Politicians don't often learn from the past, but maybe they've learned something this time.
I mean, in regards to tuition fees, obviously, as you say, students do remember that and they haven't forgotten, and it's showing tonight that they are making him pay for that.
Yeah, and of course, this may have redressed the whole balance of politics as well, because we've seen the Green Party are expecting to gain a seat in Bristol West as well. I believe they've already got one in Bristol Pavilion. But Labour, we've just been announced, Labour have lost Southampton. It's gone or to John Denham. Lost John Denham's lost that seat. So yes, a local blow for Labour there. So
that's
a huge blow.
Surprising actually. But
of all of tonight, I mean, there's been so many surprising results. Are there any standout results for you, Alex, in particular?
Oh, there's been some incredible results. I mean, Danny Alexander losing is quite huge. Jim Murphy, for me personally, that is a huge loss. It's going to change the whole geopolitical makeup of the whole of Britain. It could be the final snip on the umbilical cord between Scotland and England. In fact, like, you don't know what's going to happen next term. I mean, Sturgeon is saying she's not going to give us another Scottish referendum, but my God, you can tell in her heart she wants it. Trust me. And but yeah, I mean, bye bye fuzzy eyebrows, Alistair Darling. For me, it's the superficial things that count in politics for me.
And finally, do you have any predictions for the
the rest of the morning?
Yes, I do. The picture's still coming together. We're still piecing together the dots. It's a painting by numbers sort of crayon session going on downstairs at the moment in the election hub. But I would say that all the polls are indicating a Conservative win. Whether or not that will be anywhere close to a majority is a different question. And I certainly hope that the Lib Dems, they know that the coalition is either beckoning or lost, because if they can't pick up any more seats, they won't even be a valuable member of the system anymore, is my honest opinion. So harsh, I know, but these results are harsh, so I'm literally just commentating.
Okay, well, thank you for talking to us, Alex. We'll be catching up again with you later. Yeah. Well, later on in the morning, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I look thank forward to much. It. Hopefully, we should have at least a Dorset result in the next half an hour, so it'd be great to bring you some local results too.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you very much.
Okay, so global warming, is it a stigma? That's what we're asking next, as one of our reporters tackle the issue on the lips of politicians and voters alike.
Global warming has been a hot topic of recent years, but is it real?
Oh, that's a tricky question.
Yes, I do believe in global warming, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You can see it everywhere.
Yeah, I'm from Indonesia. It is very hot and it's getting hotter every year. So I feel it firsthand.
Not a green freak, but obviously I believe that the way that things are going at the moment, it's not very sustainable and something needs to be done about it. It's sort of been imploded by the media and stuff. To make it seem a lot worse than it is, but I think it's just a natural course of events, really.
No. I watched a lot of conspiracy theories for and against climate change, and I've made up my mind that I don't believe in it. I mean, I know the climate is changing, so it is true, but at the same time, the government and the media feeds us with a lot of scaremongering.
For us to have thought that there was a constant environment where set seasons would listen to our rules that we put summer in this time period, so you're going to stay like that forever, is atrociously misled, and that it's not something that we should be as fearful of or something that we should feel as responsible for as the media tries to portray.
Shouldn't even be a question, to be perfectly honest. In fact, research finds that 98% of academics who are actually actively publishing within the area of climate change agree on it. So it's only actually through media and, you know, stigma and stereotyping and just general believing whatever the press says that we even have the debate on whether or not climate change is a thing. It's happening.
It's happening, people. Sort it out.
Climate change is brought about by the accumulation of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, which is being accelerated by human activities such as transportation, electricity production, and agriculture. But what do students think is the most responsible for climate change?
Oh, I don't
think food.
Well, agriculture's massive. That's one of the main things. It's quite interesting that everyone assumes, I came from a family that eat meat, and everyone seems to think you need to eat meat with every meal, if not once a day. It's not sustainable. With regardless of your ethical views on a cow, I quite like cows, but I do eat them every now and then.
Obviously, all of the industries are responsible in their own little way, and every single one could definitely do something to be a bit more sustainable.
I think everything really ties in here. I think everything that's man-influenced has an impact.
Humans are the main cause. Just the way we're changing the land, the way we're burning fossil fuels, just generally the way in which we go about pooling resources from the earth.
All the pollution and stuff, there are so many people driving cars, and I'm a complete hypocrite here because I drive a car.
Increased fuel consumption.
Cars.
Carbon emissions.
Government.
The government.
Government, yeah. It's where they make the rules, they make the laws. If they're letting companies and businesses throw stuff into the sea, pollute the environment, and if there's more policing on that and more control, that wouldn't be happening.
If we work in a system that relies on increasing consumption rates each year, GDP increase.
The government that's in place at the moment, and I'm sure the government that will be in place for the next 100 years won't do anything about it because they all care about making money and not actually protecting the environment.
You can't really blame it on one set of people, but if anything, it's that top 1% who own about 50% of the world's wealth that I would blame on.
I think it's mass consumerism because we rely on it in the entire globe, from the producing countries to the consuming countries to the waste that we produce to the transporting of it all.
We've never been sort of rationed the way that things were before, so we expect to have fruit from Spain and meat that comes from like Argentina.
I think it's the average Briton consumes 3,400 litres of water a day, and that's embedded in the products that they buy and use. The water, the electricity that just gets used to transfer something from halfway across the world, it's just not sustainable. We need to localise produce.
In partnership with 90.1 Hope FM, this is your Election 15 with Hannah Trinder and Betty Glover.
Okay, so good morning. So me and Betty are joined in the studio with a student panel, Doug and Dan. They're back.
And they've been laughing through the whole of that little package that was going on then.
Right, so you guys, you can't keep away, can you? You love being in
here.
And is this your last time you're going to be with us?
I think so, yeah.
Guys, no, you're breaking our hearts. Come on now.
Right, so let's get to the issue of climate change. Go on, who's going to go first?
So we heard that package, and we heard a few controversial comments in that package. Yeah. Is there any that stuck out at you at all?
I will not engage in any talks about conspiracy theories about climate change, I can tell you that. But no, it is, you could hear that people know a lot about sustainability, etc. So it clearly was an issue that people know things about. But I cannot remember in any debate being probably talked about, even like Green Party.
Though for me, I see the Green Party, their main kind of policy is about climate change and environment. Whereas in the leader debates, for example, or the debates with all the parties that took place quite a while ago, I don't think this topic actually came up.
No.
But saying that, from the package we just heard, people know about it and it is an issue. I think just politicians or the parties themselves don't think of it as an important issue that people would vote on.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. Yes, it's become more of a rising issue because obviously you had the rise of the Green Party and then they brought that issue up.
Yeah, it's surprising that after the success of the Green Party in terms of membership rising over the last 9 months, that all those environmental issues have not been front page on many newspapers, etc. And also that the closer to the election, the more the Green Party moved towards like talking about NHS and social and healthcare issues, etc. I wanted to like get some Labour votes. I don't know. It's odd.
Surely you can argue that people are a little bit more interested in the economic issues that are going on.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. I think it's wise that the Green Party doesn't just stay on environmental issues, because they will have people who care about those issues and still vote for them. But what's important for them is the next step is to go into other policies and make sure that they don't kind of put themselves in a corner and go, we are the Green Party, all we care about is...
Yeah.
Environmental issues and climate change, whereas we've got other policies which are good for the UK, so such as economics, such as educational policies and NHS and so on.
But you could frame frame economic issues as climate change issues.
Yeah,
immigration issue is a climate change issue. What's going on in Africa, people trying to get over the Mediterranean Sea, this is a climate change issue. Sustainability is an issue that we have with infrastructure, with cars, etc. So there is always some climate change issue in the background. So it's not that the issue doesn't exist, but it's dispersed into all other issues. So we do not see it as such. We don't talk about it as such. And it's hard to talk about it then in a specific context when you said, oh, see, now you come with the climate change again with your Green Party member, or you and your climate change.
Yeah.
So it is hard. It is really hard.
definitely. All right, well, thank you for joining us, guys.
Hopefully this isn't our last time, but if it is, farewell.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much for
having
us.
Thanks for talking to us.
Fun.
Yeah, thank you.
We've enjoyed it as always. Now we do, I believe, have another student panel behind us. If you want to switch seats, guys, so we can get you over there and speak to you.
And you, I understand, are talking about Northern Ireland.
Apparently so, yeah.
Yeah, that's correct.
You've just been told. Just been updated.
I was going to say, I was only told about 10 minutes ago I was doing this. So.
Well, here you are.
Sorry if it's
exciting
a bit rusty.
Stuff. That's all right.
I'm sure you won't be. So, Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Is that what you've been given to talk about?
Well, he has been.
Okay, so you're going to lead. You're going to take the lead.
I'll take the place as the expert, I suppose.
Go for it.
Well, first of all, it's been a generally, I don't know, realistic outcome in Northern Ireland. I think a lot of people were looking towards Northern Ireland in the past few weeks because there was a chance that the DUP might join up with a Conservative or a Labour government. The exit polls have suggested that the Conservatives might need the DUP to gain a majority, so they've certainly been up there. I'm sure Morgan knows about that. He's been looking at the Conservatives quite a lot.
Yeah, I have, yeah. I was going to say, yeah, the exit polls are suggesting that the Conservatives will win about 316 seats. I still think that's a bit optimistic. I don't think we'll win that many. But, I mean, the DUP could, with their 8 or 9 seats, play a massive role in forming the next government. And, yeah, the DUP have said they would work with either Labour or Conservative, but naturally they would more lean towards the Conservative Party than they would Labour.
So you're doubting the exit polls then, you think?
I think they're a little bit optimistic. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's obviously seen that the Liberal Democrats have plummeted tonight. Labour have obviously fallen apart in Scotland and they've not picked up many places outside in England or Wales either. So yeah, it's you know, Northern Ireland could play a massive role in this because they might be propping up the next government.
Quite potentially.
Yeah.
Quite very potentially, because obviously we've seen the fall of the Lib Dems over, well, in a matter of hours. Obviously as well. So I mean, the results have been shocking in all in every single way possible. So I mean, who knows what could happen?
Well, it looks like we're just seeing on the TV here that the Sheffield Hallam results are just coming out.
That's going to be very interesting to see. Right, 22,000.
Clegg's just got 22,000 odd votes. So his nearest challenger on this one is probably the Labour Party. It used to be a Tory stronghold, but now it has moved back to Labour.
We were just saying in there just a second ago that it would be very interesting to see if Nick Clegg does stay. It could be David Cameron as the only party leader left from this election.
Because Nigel Farage might have to stand down because he's promised if he loses South Thanet, he will. Miliband will probably have to... Oh, no, Labour haven't pipped him on that one. They've got 19,862. So it looks like Clegg just about safe in Sheffield Hallam. unless the Conservatives, you know, do a little bit better, but I don't see it somehow.
He was confident at winning it, clearly. The confidence wasn't in vain.
No. But, it's a big... big exclamation marks around the whole of Miliband leaving.
Yeah.
What are your opinions on that then?
Well, he's going to have to resign, isn't he? Because,
he's
lost.
That's the end of him.
Well, he's lost near enough every seat in Scotland. He's not hardly gained anywhere in England or Wales. So he's the right thing to do, whether he'll do it or not, is to probably stand down and call a leadership election.
We were just saying that we feel a little bit sorry for him.
Well, I guess so, but it's kind of his own fault, really, isn't it? He's not really offered too much to people.
He proved to be quite popular on social media and things, and then...
Well, yeah, you had this fangirl thing.
Yeah,
where
me fandom,
yeah.
No, I do remember that, yeah.
But everyone heard of it.
Most of them probably aren't old enough to vote, so I don't think we've got to worry too much about that.
Yeah, I do think Ed Miliband, it was a big surprise to see how Labour have completely collapsed in the past few seats so far. I personally was expecting Labour to do much better than they have done. And if Ed Miliband does hold on, then it's definitely going to be...
Ah, right. Well, we've just had some confirmation that Nick Clegg holds the seat at Sheffield Hallam, which we've literally just spoken about anyway, as it popped up on our TV.
Yeah. So maybe not all is lost for Nick Clegg then.
No.
That's okay. There's a positive for him. There's a silver lining for him. Like, maybe he's not, you know... as distraught as he was before.
I'm sure he's absolutely distraught anyway, but I mean, he's just lost one of his wingmen in Vince Cable, and that's a huge person. He's lost Joe Swinson, he's lost Danny Alexander, and yeah, he's lost Ed Davies as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's lost a fair amount of people who could potentially. He might be safe as leader now because no one's obviously going to challenge him.
Especially if he, especially if he gets it back into cabinet, if there is a hung parliament, the Lib Dems could still prop up a Tory government. And
I don't see it, because if they do get what the exit poll is, they will go for the DUP. It'd still
be the safest option though, because it'd still be the safest option. Simple as that. Lib Dems have been in government for 5 years.
Oh, yeah, of course,
it'll be the natural option to carry on the same government.
Well, the Tories might want him in coalition just so they can finally finish him off and good. But I mean, I think it's more. It would be more obvious if the DUP went in, because they are effectively a de facto Conservative party.
Okay, well, thank you guys for speaking to us. I'm sure we'll probably see you again later on at some point.
Thank you
for coming on.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you.
We've now got Matt back about the TV.
Our TV critic, who's going to update us what he's been watching and what he's been up to.
How's the BBC doing? Are they still nearing the bottom of your list?
I don't know, actually. I think they're slowly working their way back up.
Okay.
Yeah, feeling a bit optimistic.
Give them a chance. Okay, I like it.
Small chance. I still think Sky have done it better. I think that Sky's coverage has been, I don't know, it's been a bit more focused on sort of, you know, BBC, they don't go into much detail about the smaller seats I've felt when I've been watching it, and it's a lot of focus very much placed on the bigger seats, whereas Sky have seemed to, obviously, we've got it on now, and Nick Clegg holding his seat is a massive issue, so it's going to get a lot of airtime, but it just seems to me that Sky seem they've had it a bit more well-rounded. I've got to be honest, I did go back to ITV
to test the waters and be even in your judgment.
They must have been delighted, because I probably was their only viewer at that point, because
a bold statement, my friend.
They still haven't really impressed me on the coverage tonight.
They've got a lot more work to do, then, haven't they?
They've only got a few more hours
to impress you.
Yeah.
It could be done. Who knows?
Who knows? I'll give them one more chance.
Okay, good. I think they deserve that. I think they do.
One small chance, but I'll give them a quarter of an hour. And if they don't impress me, that's it. I'll give them an ad break. Yep.
They've
been cut off, definitely.
Hard critic to impress.
Well, you've got to be. It's a cutthroat business.
That's your job, yeah. Have you gone back to Channel 4 at all? Have you watched some more of their...
I did. I did go back there very briefly. And it's still impressed me. It's still the mix. I think with all the results now coming in, it's becoming more and more similar to the other channels. Because it's got to be, though. I mean, there's no point sitting there cracking jokes when, you know, all this is going on. There's no real point. It was a good warm-up, I think, and now they're focusing more on the, you know, they've got down to brass tacks. They're now in the real business end of the night, so they're focused on that, and I think they've done a good job, and they've balanced it well, as I said earlier.
Yeah, because now there is, you know, there's breaking news coming up people want to know about. You know, it's not a time to joke, is it, anymore? That, you know, people do want to know the facts, and you know, all about Nick Clegg and Ed Miliband instead of, you know, having the jokes around.
Yeah, I mean, when I watched it earlier, they did a section where they had a phone caller, and he was asking, who would you most like out of all the leaders to be in a relationship with?
Which
is a question for a different day, perhaps, but... Yeah.
What was his answer out of interest?
I think there was a lot of range in answers, but I don't think Nigel Farage was particularly
high up
on anyone's shopping list, shall we say.
I think Clegg
was actually quite high up. Apparently he seems the romantic one out of
them. Clegg, we were saying this, weren't we, earlier, Betty? Clegg, he is just... Okay, so...
Clegg, sorry about that. We've been, but Clegg apparently was most romantic. I'm not sure if I see that personally.
Maybe just the girls. Maybe he just warms, you know, female hearts. Okay, so we've now got a clip from Vince Cable, who is the former business secretary who lost his Lib Dem seat off Twickenham to Conservative candidate Tania Matthias. Here's what he had to say following the declaration.
It's naturally a very disappointing result, but I do want to very warmly congratulate Tania Matthias and thank her for very gracious comments a few minutes ago. I think thanks are due to a lot of other people, to the people who've organised this event very efficiently, the returning officer, the staff and the police, but above all, to my army of volunteers, who were brilliantly organised on the ground by my friend and parliamentary colleague Baroness Ducey and the rest of the local team here. no reflection on them, the result. The fact is that we were hit by a very well-organized national campaign based on people's fear of a Labour government and the Scottish Nationalists. And we'll see in the days that follow what are the implications of that. But I just want to say for myself that it's been a marvellous experience and a great honour being an MP for this constituency. Unfortunately, this has been a terrible night for our party all over, but I'm absolutely sure that we're going to bounce back both nationally and locally. But thanks to everybody who's supported me through these years. Thank you.
So, Tim, you're in the studio with us. What do you have any opinions?
No, I just read the news. It's
okay,
much easier.
Fair enough. I just thought I'd get you involved in our
Well, you
our
can
chat.
Do that, but it's past my bedtime.
Okay. It's past everyone's bedtime,
yeah,
I think.
I'm already on about Red Bull 3000.
What do you make of Vince Cable then? I think, personally,
I feel sorry for him, bless him.
I think he's been a fantastic servant, not only to the Lib Dems, but to politics in general. And obviously, everyone's day does come at the end, but he's... Perhaps it's maybe the party rather than him that's let him down. But no, I think he's been a fantastic servant, and he'll be one that the Lib Dems will definitely miss.
Very true words there, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us yet again. We'll be hearing from you soon.